This is He Said, Ella Dijo with Eric Winter and Rosalind Sanchez.
Good morning.
This is going to be a an interesting podcast because I don't know if we've ever had a reality love matchmaking guest on our show. And this is a show about relationships and love and the complexities and the differences. And this is somebody who found love in 90 days. Could you find love in 90 days, Roz? You can't even find where your microphone is. So I don't know if you're going to find out where love is.
Well, thank you. The sweetest. He's so sweet, guys. He's been so sweet. He had back surgery. And when I tell you the definition of an a-hole, that's been Eric for the last week.
Wow.
Anyways, you've been a witness right now. Oh, my phone just fell.
Wow.
You've been a witness right now by the behavior. Anyways, I did fall in love in 90 days.
Actually. I had back surgery, first of all.
Back surgery.
I know.
I did.
And then you called me an a-hole.
Yeah. Back surgery, wow. A-hole are synonyms. Synonyms? Is that a word?
Son synonymous.
Yeah, synonymous. Anyways, yeah, Eric had his ninth back surgery, 5 for the neck and 4 for the lower back. They found a lot of scar tissue that was compromising his nerve and also attaching to the bone. So he thought he was going to go in for something very simple. It ended up being something more complicated. And he's been an a-hole. But let's give him a pass because I guess he's been in pain.
Wow. So that was quite a shift from 90 days. I had no idea we were going to talk about that.
I've been taking good care of you, though. Anyways, yes. So yeah.
Could you find love in 90 days? Do you think you could fall in love? Wait, you were married before. I think the fans know that, or the listeners know that.
Yeah.
Didn't you get married pretty quick?
I got engaged at 3 months, at 90 days, and then got married 3 months after that. So I got married.
So you can, technically. How did that work out for you?
It was blissful. It was wonderful.
Really?
And some
love and rainbows and butterflies?
No, it was nightmares and darkness and lots of tears and sickness.
So you actually did the 90-day challenge.
When I talked to Fernanda Flores, she's our guest. She's our youngest guest. I think she's 23. She's a baby. She could be our kid. So I have a lot in common with Fernanda. I can't wait to exchange stories.
Yeah, I mean, I got engaged after like 18 months.
Okay. And then got married. That's fast.
I mean, yeah, I guess, but also very young. And then got married maybe 18 months later. Didn't work out. But I also think there's something to like finding love very young. I mean, everybody thinks they know it all at a young age. And everybody, I remember being told all the time, you're too young, you're too young. And I was like, no, I know what I'm doing. I got this. I feel it. You know when it's right. But I think there's truth to being too young, like not really knowing yourself.
There's a lot of truth. I think it's everything.
I don't think it's impossible. People do it all the time.
I think it's impossible.
You think it's impossible?
I think nowadays.
Danny Pino fell in love with his junior high.
But they've known each other forever, so it was different times. You know, I think nowadays kids grow so fast and everything is so accelerated. And I think these kids nowadays is a different DNA altogether. I think that they should enjoy life. And when they're in their late 20s, it's when you should start thinking about the possibility of settling down. Getting married and claiming that you're madly in love and you found the one at 21, 22, 23, 24, I did it based on my experience. No, you're still a baby. You're a baby.
Let me ask you this, because I know she's doing, and we'll talk more to her, you know, with her about this, but she's doing this 90-day, the single life now, and it's all about documenting what it's like sort of dating.
Just stay
single.
All the
social media apps. No, but like when we grew up dating, it was basically like you went to a bar or you went somewhere and you saw somebody and you said hi. Now all these apps, like I think that's something that I would have done well with. I think I would have done well with dating apps. Could you?
Why do you say?
I would have loved the dating app game.
Why?
I love first dates. I think their first dates are a blast.
Okay.
It's a great, easy way to meet a bunch of people and just sort of go through the process quickly.
Okay.
Could you have done well with dating apps?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think you would have been a nightmare on dating apps.
I would have been a nightmare. It's very possible.
Well, I mean, I also think it's more challenging for women. I mean, you're trusting off of an app that the person is like not a killer, not a weirdo, and you got to go meet them somewhere.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
I would
like
be more
it.
Nervous Listen, like my daughter on a dating app versus myself.
Oh, I hate it. Isabella, don't even think about it. You know, we know people that have that met through a dating app and they got married and they're happy.
Like
Match.com.
Things,
and they're actually happy. To me, no, I don't think it was for me.
No?
I don't know. So you never did it?
It didn't exist.
You're right. It didn't exist. Yeah.
You swept me up. Apparently you swept the asshole up. too early for him to get his dating app game on.
Good. I'm glad. Well, if you didn't know, maybe you should have done
it. Wow.
I'm joking.
Are you though? Are you though?
Am I?
That's the key.
I am joking.
All right. Anyways, well, I'm looking forward to talking with her. This is going to be fun. I want to know. I mean, look, this is not just a normal 90-day situation. She was from Mexico. She was not a U.S. citizen, which is part of the show she was on, 90 Day Fiancé. Her partner was a citizen. They, you know, she comes over on a visa, and they have to have an agreement that they're going to get engaged and plan their wedding.
Okay, so yeah, so Eric, Fernanda Flores, she's a fitness model and TV personality who came into the limelight after she made her debut on season 6 of the hit reality TV show 90 Day Fiancé. 6 seasons, that's crazy. The show brought her to the U.S. in 2018. However, she eventually established herself as a U.S. citizen on her own, independent of the show. She's starring in 90 Day, the single life that follows her life and the struggles of being single. I cannot wait to talk to her.
Let's see what this is all about. Let's bring in Fernanda.
Fernanda Flores.
Well, welcome to our show. Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is we're really interested in this conversation. We're excited to talk to you because we were just discussing our previous, you know, we're married in real life. It's been 13 years of marriage now.
13 together and almost 16.
16 together, wow. 13 married.
And 15 married, yes.
Of our numbers we just said were completely wrong. That's how in sync we are.
Listen, for a long time.
Okay.
Over a decade. But we both were previously married before at a young age. Yeah, I got married at 25. You got married at what age?
I got 24.
24. And we were talking about just, you know, how... First of all, you did a show called 90 Day Fiancé, mm-hmm. Let alone, you know, meeting someone and having to be engaged within 90 days and get married within 90 days. Not just that, but you're from Mexico. He mm-hmm. was a U.S. citizen, right? This is part of the show. You come mm-hmm. over on a visa and you have 90 days to seal the deal, get married and yeah. see if it works, right? So the pressure's on from the show standpoint, but also the real life scenario of like 90 days of falling in love.
Yes, it's really stressful when you're trying to decide if that person is your right partner, when you're trying to get to know that person in their environment, you know, and it's a lot of information at once. And when there is a lot of culture shock, when you're mm-hmm. moving to a total new country, new language, new rules, new everything. So it's a challenge.
But you two met at, maybe I'm right around, but at a club or a bar in Mexico, right? You met out in the social scene. He was there on vacation. You guys hit it off.
Vacation as well. Yeah, we met in vacation at a club, actually. And it was really fun.
It was love at first sight? Or you just were like, wow, this is fun. This guy's cool. I'm into him.
So I was dancing in the dance floor with my friend. And he was like, far his table, and he was looking at us and like looking at me and making, you know, faces and like smiling and like dancing, and like we were like looking at each other for a long time. Then he finally approached me afterwards and he asked me to dance, and then we just started dancing and we got alone, and he spoke a little bit of Spanish. I didn't spoke any English at all, so he's half Puerto Rican, half Cuban, so we could communicate each other a little, and then we exchanged information. He came back to Mexico multiple times, and we just maintained a long distance relationship for a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
This
move,
forward. So he was basically my first boyfriend, my first everything. And, you know, coming from a Hispanic background, I had that pressure of my family of like, okay, you gotta get going on this. If you, you know, want to be with this man, then you gotta get married. So that's made sense for us to be together, and also for me to feel like I was doing the right thing.
Okay. How old were you?
When I met him, I was 18.
Wow.
And when I got married, I was 19.
Wow. But you did do a long distance relationship for a year and a half. It wasn't just like 90 days and you fell in love. You guys had established some foundation over a period of time, which is, you know, year and a half. It's like we said, when we talked before you came on, I got engaged after a year and a half of knowing somebody. I was 22 at the time.
I got engaged really fast. I was telling Eric, I got engaged after 3 months of meeting somebody. Yeah. Also a culture shock because he is from Liverpool, from England. Eric is American, born and raised here in LA. I'm Puerto Rican, born and raised in Puerto Rico. He is fully American, but he's more similar than a Puerto Rican with an American, because since we are American citizens, it's different from like Puerto Rican with an Englishman that was also 8 years, I believe, older than me.
Yeah.
But I mean, but listen, but white, and this is, I guess, a difference between me, but like white and Latino is also very different. Like we have very different upbringings and backgrounds, but I just happen to grow up in a very Mexican.
Eric thinks he's Mexican.
Yeah. Like, on my inside, I have brown pride.
From La Puente. La Puente.
I'm from La Puente. Yeah. Like very Mexican neighborhood, dated all Latino my whole life, mostly Mexican my whole life. So when I met her, she was like, oh, wait, white guy coming up to me. What's that? What, you know, I don't understand. But I was like, this is normal for me. But so back to you, if you had established that you, and it was your first sort of boyfriend, your parents were totally on board with you going, all right, I'm going to take off. I'm going to go to the US and get married in 90 days.
Nobody was cool with it. Everybody told me no. Well, my mom and friends, everybody had their doubts. But I'm a very stubborn person. Like, tell me that I don't and I can't and I'm not. And I'll show you, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I feel like back there also in my mindset, I had, I don't know, I was just in love. And I wanted to be with this man and I wanted to be in his world because it was always about my world. You know, he would come to me, he would be this, you know, amazing man and really cool with my friends and my family. And he would gain the love of everybody around myself back in my country. So it just made sense for me. It was my dream man. And I was just really happy in that relationship. Unfortunately, it was not reality because one thing, it's like, you know what they can come and show you and tell you, and another thing it's like what they actually are, and you know how they are, their environment, their relationship with their family, and it's a lot of other things that you don't realize. And then afterwards, when you get to know that person 100%, then you're like, oh no, this is not what
surprise,
I thought.
Yeah. Whose idea was it to be part of the show?
It was his idea. So I before I get this question all the time. So before I heard about this show, I never watched reality TV ever. Since I was young, like 13 years old, my life was also really busy. So I'm the oldest of my family. I had to take care of my brother and my sister. I had a lot of responsibilities growing up in a young age. So my life, there was no time to watch TV. But I watched a little bit of it and I'm like, well, this is really crazy because it's a lot of drama. But then he said, you know, it's gonna be good for business and the future, it can be a good thing. And I at this point I will do anything he would say. So I agree with that, and I wasn't really sure what I was getting myself into. But then I did this show and it was a really cool experience in the sense that I learned a lot about production and I liked it, and somehow but yeah, it was a good experience.
It opened up your eyes, obviously, to a whole other industry world, possibilities for career, all of that. Yeah. But you flooded your personal relationship with cameras, questions, like flies on the wall in every conversation. I'm sure it's got to be brutal.
Let me ask you, so you're saying that you got to meet the real man, right? Like, what was it so different? So when he would go to Mexico, he gained everybody's trust. You were in love. The guy was lovely. Then you moved to the States to be with him. You start doing the show. What signs did you start seeing that you were like, you know what? I don't know if I'm into this, or he's not who I thought he was. You know, what were those signs?
You know what's so funny to me? Well, my grandma, she just passed away actually earlier this year. It was really hard for me. She was basically my mother. She raised me, and she always will give me like a good advice on everything. And when I told her, you know, I really want to move, like she asked me, "Is this really what you want?" And I told her, like, I just want to be happy, and he makes me happy, and that's what I want, right? She's like, okay, Mija, like, I know that you have what it takes to be a good wife, but I'm not sure if this man has what it takes to be a good husband.
Oh, my goodness.
Those were her words. And I remember I would tell her, like, yeah, I trust he's, like, he's, and she was just, like, she wasn't sure that he was ready to marry. I don't know why. Like, she loved him because she would be cooking for him a week before he even came to visit. And, like, she loved this guy as well, but she had her doubts. And when I moved there, yeah, I did realize that, you know, he lied a lot. He said many things that were not truth. He appeared to be a certain person. And we got home, there was not even electricity. That's how it was the thing.
Oh,
yes.
No.
So I realized that there were a lot of debts, that there were a lot of, you know, financial problems as well.
Oh, no.
Family problems. Yes. And then, I mean, going like that in a marriage is a really hard situation because you're naive. And then you start to realize all these things that you don't know how to handle. And to me, I think it was the biggest thing was also the family relationship. Like how he talked to his mother and like how they really hated each other and how like coming from a very loving family where my grandparents respect each other so much and they love each other so much. And it was just very shocking for me to see all those things and disappointment, then another disappointment. And then when I couldn't handle it anymore, I wasn't in love with him anymore. I didn't want to be with that person. And it was really tough. On top of that, you add to it the attention of the show, the drama, the whole, you know, the whole pressure of family, friends, and my family, and me trying to appear everything is perfect, everything is good, don't worry. Wow. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, it was like a lot. And then I couldn't handle it. So the way how I handle it, it was a total different way than he handled it. So we just kind of deal with it in separate ways.
But you did actually end up getting married at the end of the show, right?
Oh yeah, we did. Yes. So the show gives you those 90 days to get married, and well, not the show, the government as well. So it is really tough. In my mind, once that, you know, I was realizing all these things, he did come up as we're going to make it through. Like I have a plan. This is what we're going to do and try to work things out, work things through. But in the bottom of my heart, I kind of know then it was like, it was going to be too hard.
So the pressure, you actually got married under all this pressure of knowing.
Because of the pressure of everything, everybody was just waiting for that. And my family, they're very religious as well. We were already living 90 days without being married. And it was like, you got married now? Like, when were you? Like, because it was bad. Like, you're supposed to not live with a person when you're not married. At the beginning of, you know, of my life by myself, I did feel the guilt and I did feel like I needed to make my family proud of myself by doing the right thing. So I feel that social pressure, plus also the fact that he was everything I knew and had where we lived.
He was like your lifeline in the US.
And then you were married for how long?
We were married actually for 6 months.
And that's it. And then you decided, I'm out. This is not working. I'm unhappy. Was he able, did he take it easy and was able to let you go? Or was it a nightmare?
It was really tough. It was really hard for him. I feel like even though when you're not a person that, because I just feel like the circumstances took the worst of both of us. And it was just a lot. For himself or myself, I also didn't deal with things in a correct way sometimes because I didn't know any better and I didn't know how to do it, right? So I don't blame him and I don't blame myself neither. It's just the way how things happened because it was a lot and it can be a lot for any person. So I decided to leave for my own health and I wasn't leaving him. I just needed time off. I just needed to figure things out within myself first because I was dealing in my head with a lot. And he took that as you're leaving me. And I was like, okay, well, if that's how you want to take it, then that's fine. But in the meantime that I was taking care of myself, he like took five steps forward me and he just used whatever he could to take the best of it for himself. And that affected me a lot. My image, my life, my career, everything. And he, well, he didn't take it good, because then he did everything he could to
sabotage. Kind of
like, yeah.
How does that, I'm sorry to hear it. That sounds like quite a journey, especially at your young age. That's a lot of knowledge to have to learn the hard way. How does it work? And I'm actually not too versed on this, because I thought once you get married, right, you become an American citizen. Yeah. But if you were only married for 6 months, was it an annulment or was it a divorce? Or does that citizenship get taken back by the government? You don't actually get the citizenship. How does that work?
So basically, it's called a petitioner, and it's a K-1 visa. So you, if you're a citizen, you request or you ask for a person in another country. So you fill up a bunch of documents and paperwork, and you become the petitioner, which is also the sponsor. So once they accept the person, it has 90 days to come, get married inside of the country, and then you have to apply for the exchange of status, for getting a residence.
Okay.
So you first become a resident, then you become a citizen. So the way how it works is that once you get married, you have to apply for the change. Once then you have the change, you wait, I think, 2 to 5 years to apply for citizenship. So it's a whole process. So if you have to maintain married for 2 years in order to get the citizenship.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so it's still like you're on, I don't know how to say this in English. Como estás condicionado,
you're conditioned to
maintain like the relationship through a certain point, because the government, you know, it's easier for people sometimes to do it fake.
And then,
they want to know that it was a real marriage, it is a real relationship, that everything is true.
So then what happens if you get divorced after 6 months? Then what happens?
You have to either return to your country, or you can apply for something else if you have another sponsor in the US, like a familiar, like a parent or a cousin or somebody immediate.
So
family.
How do you do it?
So, well, the thing is that my dad is an American, and my grandparents are also American from my dad's side.
Okay.
And I could have come to the US before if I wanted it, but I grew up, my mother and my dad, they're not together. So I grew up and I was raised on my mother's side with my grandma, the mom of my mother, and my family back in Mexico. And I was really happy, and I had a good lifestyle there. So it never crossed my mind like, moving to America before, because I was also too young.
Claro.
So when I met him, it just makes sense. And I also wanted to get closer to my family in the States with my dad and my grandparents there. And also my dad has all siblings. I have siblings through my dad.
¿Y dónde vive tu papá?
In Chicago.
Oh, por eso fue que fuiste a Chicago.
Sí.
Oh,
actually, and my ex, he's from Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And his mother and all his family live in Chicago. Not in the city, but like 40 minutes away, and also my family live like in the suburbs of Chicago.
Okay.
So when we were in our relationship, that was the plan. That was what he promised me. He said, okay, I live right now in North Carolina. There is my business. We save some money. Then we move to Chicago, where your family is, my family is, and it's gonna be easier for me to also build a life for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I was promised, but it never happened. And I did want it to be around family, because I was isolated back in North Carolina. And I did that. I started living with my grandparents. I started getting therapy and doing, you know, a little bit of myself, because I needed to be around people that love me. I was really, really destroyed. And it was good for me, you know. And my family support was the best thing could happen to me in that moment, because I felt like I wasn't alone, and I had them here as well. And if I wanted it to pursue a life here by myself, I didn't need him. I could do it on my own with my family.
It's beautiful.
And I think.
Yeah, no, that's an amazing story, because you could have easily just gone back to Mexico. You could have gone back to what was safe.
I swear that happened through my mind many times. Like, my mom would be like, just come back.
Just come home. Yeah.
Just come home. You have a whole life here too. Like, well, and then I thought of it, doing it a lot of times, but again, I'm so stubborn. And he told me many times, you're not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be there for you. You don't even speak English well. You don't know how to use the train. Like all these things of you're not capable of doing, you're not going to do it. He made me say, you know what? I'm going to do it, not for you, but for myself, and showing everybody that I'm capable of doing it. Within 6 months, I was already living in the city in my own apartment and doing my own thing. So I don't regret anything that happened to me, because that gave me the strength I needed to succeed there.
Yeah. Maybe a lot of kudos too, because I didn't know, you know, this is a conversation that comes up outside of the show that you were on, but like, oh, somebody coming here, getting married just for citizenship. It's not that easy. You can't just go get married and get citizenship. It's a process. You have to be, I had no idea, be with a person for 2 to 5 years to actually get that. Yeah. And you, you know, chose what was best for you. You did the right thing for your health, for your sanity, for your life. It wasn't about citizenship. It was about your heart.
You know what's so crazy? Like, this is how when you do things so young and you have no idea what hits you. Like, you're explaining the whole process. When I got married, I was 24, and I was a citizen because I'm Puerto Rican, right? I have citizenship, and he didn't. And there was a lot of back and forth about paperwork and visa and work visas and all these things. I never paid attention to anything because it wasn't my business. I didn't even know what he was talking about. And then when we got separated, 3 years, like a year and a half, and then I left. And then a year and a half later, the divorce was finalized, you know? So out of 3 years, we were together only like a year and a half. But I remember that he was always stressing and freaking out about this citizenship.
The time frame, probably.
But the time frame, and it was so specific, and the lawyers. And to this day, I have no idea how it went down. What did he end up doing? Yeah. I have no idea.
Well, here's the funny story.
That's how crazy and immature that we are, that we're so young and we don't think about repercussions. We don't think about what's happening.
He might actually be a citizen, because we were married for like 5 years and she found out she was still actually married to him. Our lawyer found out, and there was some weird like divorce thing that
was. So what does it mean, that he's a citizen?
I have no idea.
So funny.
Yeah, there was a weird thing.
Listen to me, you're married to two people.
Yeah, she was married to me for like a while.
Isn't that
we
crazy?
We might have even had our kid already.
Yeah, Isabella.
And then it came up somehow that there was like a mistake in paperwork, and she was getting phone calls going, I'm still married to my ex? What? And our lawyers had to get involved. Yeah.
He left me a voicemail. And I said, oh my God.
Because he was trying to apply for something. Yeah.
Yeah. Gary's calling me. He needs to talk to me. And I was like, what?
Question. Did you have kids with this guy?
No, I didn't. Thank God. And the same thing with you, because I think life will be so different if their kids involved, you know?
I can imagine going through all the things that I went through with the baby. Hell no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
So now your life is in a different place. I mean, there's going to be a couple questions here within this. So you were doing 90 Day, The Single Life, which is a new version of the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
But are you in fact single now?
Well, actually right now I have a boyfriend. But...
Okay. So does that mean you're off 90 Day Single Life, or does that mean?
No. Well, the 90 Day Single Life show, it's basically cast members from the actually 90 Day Fiancé show.
Okay.
They choose 6 people from the 9th season, I believe they are. And from these 6 people, they follow through their single lives. So it's only people that got to be in the States and now they're single. Like their relationship didn't work out and now they're on their own. So I'm one of those 6 and they follow my single life in the sense of how I got back on dating, how I went through all these things and I... just I'm kind of like building my life alone in the States. So it's really interesting. The dating situation as well is really tough, because after you experience the marriage and divorce and you go through those hard times, it's really hard to get back on dating. It's really hard to get back on trusting somebody and believing in love. And especially when you were, were thinking in like princess dreams, like you were just so naive.
Can I ask you something? Were you ever, because we got married so young, you even younger, did it ever cross your mind that I was so embarrassed, because I was young and I was like, oh my God, now I have to go back out there, and meet new people. I'm so embarrassed to say, oh yeah, I've been married, I'm divorced. I was like, who's going to want that, And it took me a lot of growing up to realize, Ross, it doesn't matter. You're a wonderful girl. It's like, anybody will be lucky. It's okay. You had that experience. You learned a lot. You know, of course, when we think about it, I love and I appreciate that you said, I don't regret it because I learned like crazy. The same thing with me. You know, I had wonderful times at times. You know what I mean? It's like not everything is bad. You know, it was just unfortunate. Do I wish that I didn't go through that so young and maybe have chosen a different path? Yeah, but the reality is, no, I'm not going to regret it because I learned like crazy. I learned what I didn't want for my life, you know, and that's so, such a valuable lesson. But I remember having those moments of going, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed. Did you ever go through that?
Yeah, multiple times, especially with situations and guys that I really like. It was like, okay, this is a good guy. It could be something out of here. Mm. And then you do have those insecurities and you feel kind of ashamed of embarrassed of that. But honestly, I feel like therapy helped me so much to realize that what happened to me, I'm not going to become what happened to me. I'm going to overcome and I'm going to be proud of my past because that's who I am. And the person that is going to be with me is going to accept and respect that mm-hmm. because I went through a lot and it was really hard and I am becoming a better person than that. So I feel like once that I got that clear within myself, anybody that will come up to me and make me feel or want to make me feel bad about that, then I will cut it off right away.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. So I feel like that's a one thing that makes women, when you're in a relationship or a situation or marriage, whatever it is, that it's, you know, you're not happy and this is not serving you. Then this is not going to be any good for you in your future. And you want to separate or get divorced and take that step. That's what comes through your mind. What am I going to do after? I'm going to be a failure. My family is going to be disappointed. Everybody, like, you think of all those things mm-hmm. that are going to become afterwards. And that's what stops you from doing it. So it's crazy, you know?
Okay, so you, the show ended, the 90 mm-hmm. Day Fiancé. How long before you got that phone call inviting you to be part of 90 Day Single Life?
Well, the thing is that even before we separated, we got offered to be in a follow show. So there is like a bunch of other mini series after the 90 Day okay. Fiancé. And he, of course, you know, he loved the fame. He was the one getting the money because at that time I didn't got my work permit yet, so I couldn't get paid.
Oh, so he was pocketing everything too?
Was he giving you your fair cut? Was he giving you money? Oh, I'm going to punch him. I want to punch him. Okay.
When I separated and I went on my own with my grandparents, my debit card got caught. My phone got stolen as stolen. And it wasn't stolen. It was my phone. Yeah, a lot of things that, yeah, very unfair.
No.
Very, very unfair.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't know. But at the same time, you know, and that moment, it was when I said, I'm not filming. I'm not filming anymore. I'm not getting paid. I'm not getting anything good out of it. So I kind of avoid the producers and I just cut off all of that because even, you know, my own family is like, what are you doing it then if you're not getting anything?
Yeah.
And at that time, I didn't also know how to handle my social media in a way to make myself a profit. So it was like, no, just bad things happening for me. So I stopped that until I got back on my feet and I kind of figured out my way to be there again and being able, strong enough to tell what happened and my story and stand up for myself. But in the meantime, it was a big gap that, you know, other people took advantage of. So it was really hard. So I decided to film back with the show when they offered me on The Single Life. And just because the concept of the show, it was not about that anymore. It was about me and my life moving forward. And it's when I said, okay, fine. Because I just didn't want to be involved with anything of that anymore.
And if he was sort of your first experience being out there dating, doing all these things in your own country, now you're in another country, completely single, trying to navigate everything. We were laughing beforehand of just like when we were single, you know, social media didn't exist. All these dating apps didn't exist. None of this stuff was around. We sound like grandparents, but that, I mean, like none of that happened. Like you just went to a bar and you met somebody. Now you're in this world where you can meet anybody just like boop, boop, DM. You can go meet somebody on Instagram. You can meet somebody on a dating app. Was that intimidating? Was that fun? Was that, what was your thought process?
At what point now?
No, like when you, before you found your, now you have a boyfriend. when you started the single life, when you started getting out there, was that fun, that whole?
Well, you know what? I feel like at the beginning, when I first, when I got separated, and then my ex was right away with someone, and then he got engaged right away. We were not even divorced. Like, there were a lot of things that happened over and over that I was not over my relationship just yet. Because when I married, I meant it. Like, within myself, I don't know if you guys, if I hope that that happened with you when you got married. Mm-hmm. You just make your mind, and that's your person, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So within myself, I feel like to cut that boundary, because it's a deal with you do within yourself. And realizing that was over, it took me a minute. So I couldn't really, like, put myself out there, you know, living with my girl. Like, it was not a thing. So I didn't put myself on dating until I would say when I finalized my divorce, when it was quarantine happened. So
oh, wow.
Okay. So I right signed my final paperwork one day before things shut down in Chicago because of quarantine. So then I did with the quarantine thing, and I kind of, you know, I was on that back and forth with a few guys and here and there, but it wasn't a good experience because I couldn't go on dates or couldn't go like out and things like that. So it was weird.
Yeah, for sure. Dating during quarantine.
So what's happening now, Fernanda? Now, are you still shooting The Single Life? Is that still filming, or you're done with that filming?
Well, we did film the first season, which is, well, The Single Life season one, and that's out, finished and everything.
Okay.
But there's other things coming up. So I can't really talk details about it, but it's just other stuff coming. And then the Single Life season two as well.
And so you're going to do Single Life season two. You're going to be part of it?
Okay.
Even if you have a boyfriend, they let you be part of it, even if you have a boyfriend?
Well, yeah. The thing is that, well, the show films you, your process going on dates, and then dating, like the fact that you are dating, you're not single, but you're dating, but it's part of the show.
It's part of the show. Okay. Like,
got it. So you could break up. I mean, hope you don't, but you could break up. You could date again. I mean, they want to see that.
Yeah.
That so life unfold.
And this season that you're dating, okay, your boyfriend now, it's been on camera. So everybody knows who he is, or is it secret?
Met him on camera, but not as my boyfriend. So we were roommates before.
Also, it's a boxer. It's a roommate. The German.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Anyway, you were roommates before you started dating? Like, you were just friends, like roommates?
Like roommates, yeah. When she moved to Miami, well, then, she was a roommate.
But wait, you were roommates during quarantine?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, of course you became, started hooking up. He's in quarantine.
Okay, let me give you like a recap. So I started recording The Single Life right after quarantine. Uh-huh. So I'm at this point, I'm like, you know, separated and single for a year and a half. I go through the divorce. I'm dealing with some stuff, whatever. I finalize the divorce. I go in quarantine. I get the opportunity to be in Single Life. And then I get by myself and dating and also doing the show at the same time, right after quarantine happened. We finished filming the show, and I was kind of done with Chicago at that point. And I say, I'm moving to Miami because since 2 years before then, I wanted to move to Miami because I just liked it. And then I was coming very often here in those 2 years that I live in Chicago, every 2 months for work or whatever. And then I met my boyfriend now on the boxing gym. I started also getting into boxing. So I met him there, and the owner of the gym, he's like kind of his manager. So we just like got along because I was also training with the owner of the gym. He was training me, and he was always around, and we just like became friends. I didn't like him at first. I was like, what the hell does he think he is? He was like very like plain cool. So I didn't like him, but then we just stay in touch. And then I was looking for an apartment, and his lease was up. He was also looking for an apartment. He gave me his realtor number, and then his realtor, well, you guys looking for the same thing, and then one bedrooms are so like rare right now, and or either like googling so expensive, so would you consider a two bedroom? And then we're like so we, you know, it came up of like, okay, let's be roommates. And we ended up just moving in together, and then the rest.
But wait. Hold on, you move in together. And yeah. There's nothing happening. You're just roommates for like a month, a week, a day. Like, how long till you're like, okay?
Well, it was tricky because I was traveling a lot for work. So I traveled to New York, and then my grandma, well, actually that same time my grandma passed away. So I was trying to put my move on hold, but we already like were really into the apartment situation and everything. So he kind of pushed me to like make my move. He was like, we went looking for a place for a long time. Like you have to, and your grandma wouldn't like you to stop your plans. Like she would like you to move forward. And he kind of like, he was just there when I most needed that somebody. And the way he was just present. It helped me a lot to go through certain things. So he was my friend, but one thing to another, it just happened.
So you didn't you didn't cross the line right away. You were roommates for a little while. You were friends for a little while. And then eventually somebody knocked at somebody's door.
Yeah. We're kind of like really into our professional lives. You know, he's like very disciplined. He's an athlete. He's like very into just working out, my food, my like very, very disciplined. And myself as well. I was like with a mindset of I'm moving to Miami to look for more opportunities to take my career to the next level. Like I was so, so very on it. And he knew that. So we both like understood each other a lot in the sense that he's from another country. He doesn't have many friends and family. He understands how I feel, especially going through that hard time. So he knew how just be there for me. And I didn't ask for it. He didn't purposely did it. He was just like, just so like genuine. And we fall in love. Like we just, yeah.
How old is he?
He's 31.
How old are you now?
23.
So what's the age difference there? 24, 25, 26, 7 years. Okay, it's not bad. Está bien. Okay. All right, so you are with the boxer.
Okay. Sounds good. You guys are happy. That's great.
Listen to me.
Roommates.
I understand that there is a stigma, but not all boxers are the same.
Listen, my ex-husband was a boxer, so I know all about it, girl. Call me. Call me.
I know. I heard that too. I saw some information. I was just trying to get to know you guys a little
bit. Of course. Yeah, that was funny. So, óyeme, Fernanda, nacida y criada en México, una familia súper unida, súper bonita. Eras casi mamá de tus hermanitos. You moved to the States with crazy circumstances, right? Aprendiste tu lección, pudiste salir de ese paquete, como yo le digo. Ahora estás tranquila, you're in Miami, you're happy, you're in a committed relationship, somebody that respects you, that is genuine, you're very happy. I'm so glad. Okay. Yeah. God has given you this platform. This opportunity, right, to be known, right, to have a say, to have a lot of social media following, to be able to get your life straight. You're on a TV show. You know, you're doing what millions, thousands of girls come to this country for, right? What is your north? You're here, you're working, but if you can close your eyes and say, okay, you know what? I made it this far. I'm still young. I'm beautiful. I'm healthy. This is my north. This is my plan. This is what I'm going to accomplish. So I can go back to my parents one day and say, Mom, Dad, look what I did. Is it a businesswoman? Is it a model? Or you want to be an actress, a personality? You just want to get married and be happy? What is your north?
Oh, I want to have my own business.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I had a lot of dreams when I was younger. You know, I had a lot of dreams, but living in the circumstances I left, I always had what I needed. And I'm very grateful. My family, everybody is so hardworking. And I'm so happy to been raised in the environment I was raised because it's what helps me to stand out of even my model girlfriends and everybody that I have met because I have that. I know how it is like to live with only what you need and have to work so hard for something just a little more. And that's always there. And I'm so grateful every day for everything I have. So that's kind of like what it's making me successful and it helps me to be successful. So I'm very grateful of that. But I'm also very ambitious and I know that I'm capable of doing a lot of things and a lot of good things. And I say myself like, yes, you're doing okay, but that doesn't last long. Like I'm already thinking of what is going to be the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I always been interested in fashion, mm-hmm. and that was my dream.
Okay.
Be a designer and have my own label and have my own clothes and have my own designs. So in where I am from, there is no schools for fashion. There is not many opportunities.
What part of Mexico?
I am from Guanajuato, Mexico.
Okay.
Celaya, Guanajuato, Mexico. So the city is very industrial. So either you will become an engineer or, you know, in the industrial part of it, like you could be successful in the city, but not in fashion, not in modeling, not in anything like that. So I could have gone, but my mom was always like, if you really want to get into it, like go to Monterrey or Ciudad de Mexico, mm-hmm. where my family will always be to support me. However, when I went to high school, I started working on my uncle's tailor shop. So that was like my second thing. And I started just fixing clothes, cutting, making pants shorter, like just like fixing
diseñando,
clothes.
Claro, diseñando tus cositas. Uh-huh.
So I started just learning little by little. And actually I worked there for 3 years. And at the end of my high school, I did design my own graduation dress. So yes. So those 3 years was, you know, very good for me because I learned from scratch. I was making a little bit of money and it was like a bunch of good things in there. And I always felt so passionate. And even though my life was so busy, I would make myself time for that. And I'd be up until 2 a.m. just doing things. And I always liked it, but I never saw it as a possibility of I'm going to make money out of this. Like that's going to be my business. So until now, you know, I always wanted to be into fashion. So I started being a model. I got the opportunity to sign with an agency. So I signed it with this agency in Chicago. They promoted me to Miami. They promoted me to LA. They promoted me to New York. They, you know, I started working with all these designers and being a Mexican and Kirby. And I kind of break a lot of standards in the industry as well. And I learned so much that everything happened so quick. And I just collect data. Like I just like learn from this designer, mm-hmm. learn from this one way, learn from that campaign, learn from, like, I just learned so much and I'm so grateful for that. But that's what I did the past 2 years. But now I actually, this Miami Swim Week, I watched myself and I'm like, this is not improving. Like you're not making more money. It's the same thing that's 2 years. It's even a little harder because after COVID designers don't have the same budget. Like there is many things that I just consider, like I question myself and I'm like, this is it. You did it. You learned the side of it as a model. And now you know how to treat your models. And I said that to myself. And now I'm developing my own collection for hopefully launch next year.
You, nice. are you wearing something that you designed, right? That's you have a capsule?
Yes.
Enséñame. Uh-huh. Enséñame.
Yes. So actually here, I have the mini design.
Ah,
qué
lindo. Okay.
So I'm wearing the adult design, which is a dress. I'm going to stand at you guys.
Yes, let's see it. Como una túnica, yes. Lindo, claro.
The material is also very fresh. So you can even use it as a cover up for a beach dress, and especially me living here in Miami. So that's what I kind of want to go to. I want to stay true. I'm very proud of my culture. I'm very proud of being Mexican. And, you know, this collaboration with Corbel, it gave me the opportunity to develop my dreams. And it was very, I didn't expect it at all. Mm. It was just like happened, and the campaign and the things that they requested kind of also forced me to just jump on it. And I always, you know, when you want to do something, but then you always hesitate yourself for some reason or another. And then this thing like comes and then I'm just forced to
just
do it.
And
it was a great thing for me because then I just did it and I'm so happy of what I, you know, what I designed and where it came to reality and these little mini designs as well, because, you know, not just myself, but also making the whole team proud. And it's just really cool.
That's awesome. I'm really so proud great. Of you. Good for you.
What an amazing journey. Of
I know. Oye, man. Yeah.
It's
you're just lovely, Fernanda. You're lovely. And thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time and telling your, being so honest, you know, and transparent about what you've been going through, you know, because it's not easy, you know, at a young age to be like, this is who I am. This is what this is what happened to me. I want to share it. And so hopefully you learn something from it. You know, it's very brave. So thank you for that. Y te voy a dar un consejo. I'm going to say this part in Spanish, okay? Because it's more comfortable for me. Te voy a dar un consejo. Yo tengo 48 años. Yo puedo ser tu mamá, okay? Después que escucho toda tu historia, si por alguna razón, Dios no lo quiera, la relación con este chico, con tu novio, por alguna razón, X o Y, no importa, no funciona, ¿okay? Y tú tienes que tomar la decisión de continuar sola. No le tengas miedo a estar sola. Un ratito. Single life is not a bad thing. Especialmente porque tú estás bien jovencita y tienes un mundo por delante y tienes la oportunidad de tener sueños y oportunidades que se te están presentando. Dedícate a tu carrera. Dedícate a convertirte en una superfigura poderosa en la industria de la moda. Dedícate a hacer your own brand. You know, sometimes you get things that deviate and get too much, take away from, te llama mucho la atención y te quitan energía de donde tienes que tener que estar canalizando la energía. So if it doesn't work, no sientas que tienes que estar con nadie en este momento. You're very young.
¿Sabes que eso es algo que yo creo muchos inmigrantes pasamos?
Claro.
Porque no, tú sabes que sí somos personas, mujeres muy fuertes, que tenemos muchos sueños y trabajamos muy duro. Pero desafortunadamente, estar lejos de la familia, estar lejos de y en un mundo totalmente diferente, la soledad pesa mucho.
Sí.
Y es algo bien, bien difícil de lidiar en una manera correcta. Y yo creo que dos años que estuve soltera me dieron la lección, o me hicieron entender que no debo de, por esa soledad, no debo de lower my standards.
Total.
No debo, okay, and then being with just whoever is there to make myself feel that, yes, void and not feel lonely.
Yes.
So I kind of understand that, and I went through it. I'm not gonna lie, I went through it, but at this point, I'm just very like, I know that, like, tengo ese acknowledge.
Qué bueno.
Thing in that sense.
Claro.
So, y eso fue la manera en la que yo dije, no voy a estar realmente con alguien hasta que esa persona no me contribuye.
Que no te complemente, que te eleve.
A mi carrera.
Sí, sí.
No, so, estoy bien agradecida en el sentido de que yo siento que eso en mi relación está ahí.
Qué bueno.
El apoyo incondicional, el apoyo de que si tú has, ve, sabes, que alguien te empuje en vez de que te...
That allows you to fly. Yeah, you want, because you want to fly. You want to fly in all levels, personal levels, all levels.
So, en todos los niveles. Y yo, pues ahorita estoy muy a gusto y muy contenta. Y en ese aspecto, mi relación me apoya y me eleva más que nada.
Amén.
Y me hace sentir en familia también.
Okay.
¿Tú sabes? Porque al final del día yo digo, okay, ¿qué será de mí being so successful? But then, I also, like, I'm always family oriented, and I always like to be loved and love someone. So if you can find that, why not to have it? Yeah, I think if you can manage to have both, why not? So
yeah,
that's what I'm like going for. However, I know that in the moment that it's not adding to me, and like not in, instead of adding and then just taking off
claro.
of me, my focus on what I'm supposed to be doing, then, you know, I know I have gone through way harder things that I know that I will.
You're going to be fine.
You just stay.
You're going to be fine.
That whole conversation sounded beautiful. She's going to have to give me cliff notes on what actually transpired as well for the rest of the listeners.
I was just but giving her advice.
I think I picked up a lot of it.
Yeah, do you speak Spanish?
No, oh, no, no, horribly. No. Horrible.
But he understands a lot.
Yeah, a little bit. But I mean, she said it, you know it, just stay your path. As long as somebody is on that path with you and they're willing to hold your hand down it, it's a great path to be on. You know, yeah. But that person's going to have a path too. That's the other thing. You guys don't have to always be on the exact same path. You just have to be on a path that complements each other. And, you know, sometimes you journey into their path and they journey into yours. But as long as you're going like this, still going the same direction, it's all good. When you start doing this and then go out of control and one goes that way and that way, then, you know, you move on.
True.
You've learned a lot at a young age, so
hats
bueno. off to you. Thank you for
Thank
sharing
you,
your
Fernanda.
Journey. Really, really great.
Appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
Qué linda, bendiciones, suerte con todo.
Gracias.
Cuídate, mi amor. Bye.
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 That was so interesting, and I love the outfit. She's really talented. You know, she did. This is a Corbel Sweet Rose. They team up with Fernanda. for this bottle fashion collection in celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month. Now this, Eric, it's not sold in stores. The capsule collection is only available through an exclusive social media giveaway. So if you want more information, you can visit Flores' Instagram. The account is at Fer Flores Official. Fer Flores Oficial.
That was a great story. First of all, let's translate. I mean, shortly translate what you just said.
No, I was just,
I mean, I have a feeling you were being like mom.
Yes, but, I was being a mom. Why do I do that, right? Like, she didn't ask for my advice.
Zero. But like, this girl asked for your advice, like, not even for a second. This girl's been on a crazier journey than you could ever have imagined.
I know, and but I like, feel like I wanted to give you like, some advice.
Let me tell you how to be better. Let me tell you how to look after yourself, even though you've survived everything.
Eric Winter, what I said was, I just want her.
I was like sitting here going, can she stop giving this girl? This girl could give you advice.
You think
she's
so?
Like 20, no, she can't. I'm 23 and she can give you advice.
I'm double her life. Listen to me.
Matter.
No,
she's,
but listen. And she said to me very clearly, I believe in love.
I heard her say, she's like, I know I've been through it.
I didn't know she was single. But what I said was, if this relationship doesn't work with this guy, and I hope it does, I really, really hope it does because she seems very happy. And I said, God has given you an opportunity to do something really incredible with your life. So just be single and just dedicate time to yourself and become a brand and become that kick-ass businesswoman and don't feel like you need somebody next to you to feel like you're complete. That's basically what I said.
I hope one day she looks back and goes, wow, there was this moment on He Said Ella Dijo that I realized I could do it. Because Rosalyn said those words.
No, Eric, I'm not so full of myself to
I'm
think
joking,
that
I'm
that's
joking.
What she's going to do.
I'm not saying
and my
that.
Intention wasn't for
that.
Her to be like, I felt compelled
I know
to
did,
be like,
a
as
story.
A woman, you know, because I've been where she's been at, to say, you're young, take your time. It's okay
because
to be alone.
Because you married a boxer and it went sideways and she's with the boxer and you're home.
No, you see this guy? It's like,
I'm
you're
joking.
Just...
No, I
no,
know.
It has nothing to do
I
with that.
I know you gave her beautiful advice. I'm teasing.
At least I tried. And if she wants to take it, beautiful.
Of
she doesn't want to take it. She doesn't have to. It's okay.
I'm sure she took it lovely. But you said, why do I always go into mom mode? And you did.
Maybe because I'm a great mom?
Yes, maybe that's why.
Could it be that I'm a good mother?
That could be why.
And I feel like if I had somebody that I can give a useful advice, maybe they will take it.
This is what I love. I love seeing women in mentorship roles. And you took an opportunity to be a mentor to somebody, even though they have crazy life experience, you took an opportunity to share some of your thoughts, hoping that maybe they could use that advice someday.
A little something that I said, it can be a syllable that one day she's going to be like, oh, I remember this thing that this girl said to me once. You know, it has happened to me many times with people that come into my life for one day and they say something that is life changing. And
100%.
I appreciate it. Anyways, this is beautiful.
Teasing you.
Gracias. Whatever to you. It was beautiful. Thank you guys. I love you.
Do you? Because you called me an asshole at the start of the whole thing.
I didn't say asshole. I said a-hole.
But it's basically asshole.
A-hole. Okay. I love my a-hole so much.
That's weird. That's actually very awkward.
I love you.
I love you too. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to write us a review and tell us what you think.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, check us out at He Said Ella Dijo or send us an email, ericandross@iheartradio.com. He Said Ella Dijo is part of iHeartRadio's My Cultura podcast network.
See you next time.
Bye.